Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And got quite a bit of stuff to get to today. And I know you're already probably thinking, because I think you know where we're going to start the show today. These guys are seriously going to start another show in the middle of June talking about hockey? Really? This is going to be a thing? Well, look, half of Southeast Michigan can't even watch the Tigers right now and probably wouldn't want to even if they could. So instead, we do that hockey.
Well, it's a good reason for talking hockey. It's game seven of the Stanley Cup in the middle of June. This is really weird considering the draft is like a week from today or something like when is it? It's this weekend.
Is it this weekend?
It's this weekend.
By the NHL sure planned that out quite well, didn't they?
Yeah. So here we are with a game seven. Edmonton Oilers taking on the Florida Panthers in Florida. A series where they were down 0-3. This hasn't happened in, let's say, 78 years.
Indeed. You were right, by the way. 7 o'clock Friday.
7 o'clock Friday for the draft. And we'll see what happens with the... we'll check out some mock drafts maybe a little later on before that happens. But, I mean, right now, Game 7. Florida's got to be feeling the pressure, right? I mean, Edmonton has all of the momentum.
I didn't expect this. I mean... But then again, to be fair, you didn't expect that Edmonton was going to make it to Game 5.
I thought Florida was going to sweep them. I mean, and a lot of people did. I mean, they took Game 1 and 2 with no problem. They beat them in Game 3, but something interesting about Game 3 was they had them. It was like, I think they won 4-3. Florida won 4-3, and Edmonton clawed their way back. Ever since then, it has been all Oilers. I mean, to the point where... I really think they're in Bob Roski's head. For a guy who, I don't know, maybe he's just gassed because he did go against some really hot teams leading up to this. But he is just, I mean, Oilers have figured him out. They figured out the whole team. And Canada may get their first cup in 31 years.
Okay, let's not say things we can't take back here. That's not happening.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a lucky bounce here. It's going to be a blown call there. Both teams are just going to have to crack down. I mean, if Edmonton thinks they're just going to go ahead and skate in, and if they're believing all the hype, that they're just going to skate in there and take an easy game against Florida, they're going to come at you with everything they got, because not only is the Stanley Cup on the line, pride is on the line. If they lose Game 7 in a series where they were up 3-0, oh, the jokes will never stop. They'll be called choke artists the rest of their lives.
They'll never be able to live that down.
No. No, I mean, I shudder to think, you know, when you're in your prime, in the mid-20s, and you're in the Stanley Cup Finals, and then, you know, within a blink of an eye, you're 60 years old on the back porch just thinking, I was that close to being a Stanley Cup champion, and we...
Twice.
Yeah, we screwed it up. So, I mean, there's a lot of pride on the line. I expect Florida to come at with everything they've got, and hopefully they crack down defensively, because they cannot get let those mistakes happen. I'm calling double overtime Edmonton.
I can see double overtime. I don't think it's going to be Edmonton, though.
No.
Florida, Friday was a weird game in that neither team put up more than 20 shots on net.
Yeah.
That in itself is a rare thing. Like, these have been, you know, historically it's been a strong team offensively.
Yes.
And that Stuart Skinner only faced 20 shots on Friday night. I thought kind of odd that Bob Roski only saw 19 shots and still gave up three goals, ultimately.
Yep.
That was a bit of a stunner, I think, for everybody.
Yeah, Bob Roski was not at practice yesterday, which was noteworthy, because that never happens. He's at every practice, so I don't know what's going on. I'm hoping he's not injured, because I want him to have every opportunity to win that Stanley Cup.
It makes you kind of wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah. Something's going on. And, you know, you don't hear about these injuries until after the fact. But, I mean, if I'm Paul Maurice, I'm not sending out a hurt goalie. That's just That's just bad news. Of course, I don't even know what their backup goalie's name is.
I don't think their backup goalie knows who he is. I don't think he knows that he's on the team, to be honest with you.
He can't get past security. No, I'm on the team, I swear.
He hasn't played since sometime in October, probably.
No, he played in game, was that 5, when Edmonton whooped him 8-1?
Anthony Stolarz. Stoli the goalie, apparently. And he, to be fair, he has had a decent season in relief of Bobrovsky in the 27 games he played the regular season, 203 goals against, 925 save percentage, which leads the league among qualified goalies.
Well, if he comes in...
But he's also only played, like, 25 games.
If he comes in and is able to steal that game and win the cup for the Cats, he is going to go down as a hockey legend. Right then and there.
It doesn't really get much bigger than that, Dion. The brightest stage possible. If that were to happen, yeah, it'd be like when we talked a few years ago about Vancouver and the legend of Thatcher Demko. This would be something the likes of which we've rarely, if ever, seen. A guy just comes in a crucial Stanley Cup Finals game.
Yep.
Hopefully he plays better than the first one, because the first game he played this season, he gave up, well, also 16 saves on 19 attempts. So basically what Bobrovsky did on Friday.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, Florida has been kind of snake bit on the offense. I mean, you touched on it with like the lack of shots on goal. I remember it was game six. Florida didn't have a shot on goal for like 10, 12, 13 minutes.
That's not normal for them.
No.
That is not in any way a typical thing for them. They're usually on it a little bit more. So it's just kind of weird looking at this.
Yes.
And seeing the way this thing's kind of gone. And for a while, you weren't getting a whole lot of production out of your biggest name. But now...
You've awakened the beast.
that's true. Well, I was referring even onto the Florida side, too. Kachuk had been putting a whole lot up offensively for a while, and then this is where you need him to be at his best.
Yep.
You need to just come out firing. No way about it. Because if you don't, then you will have just completed the most embarrassing choke in...
In the modern era.
No, absolutely.
I don't know. Maybe was it the Denver Broncos against Seattle in the Super Bowl that one year, where I think Seattle beat them like 35-5 or something like that.
I know a lot of people would also say the Falcons Patriots 28-3 at the half.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like, and that there's a question to be asked here. Where would this rank if Florida manages to blow it, a 3-0 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals? Where would this rank among all-time choke jobs?
I think it would rank higher than those aforementioned Super Bowls, because you're talking about one game. This is over a period of three different games where they had Edmonton on the ropes, and they couldn't get it done in game 4, 5, 6, and now they have a chance of just completely blowing it in game 7. Four games in a row when they could have taken home the cup.
Yeah, that'll never, like, if they do indeed manage to do this, it'll be among the worst. Like, I don't know if there's ever been a series where in the finals.
1945, it happened. Toronto was down 3-0 to the Red Wings, and Toronto came back and won the cup. But that was, 78 years ago.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
Was that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was in attendance?
Yeah, there's only been, the one in the 42 finals. It's only happened 3 other times in the playoffs at all in the NHL.
Yep.
Isles over the Penguins in 75, Flyers over the Bruins in 2010.
Yep.
I just love watching bad things happen to Boston, so, that just makes me happy. And then the Kings over the Sharks in 2014, which you just kind of expected, because the San Jose Sharks of that era were just the kings of choke artistry.
Oh yeah! Oh my God! Yeah, they should be played at Heimlich Arena.
Right. So it's only ever happened in the finals, in the World Series once. 2004, of course, our Lapeer Main Street manager Jim Ault remembers that one well. The Red Sox. coming
this
back
my
to
favorite choke job.
Coming back to beat the Yankees ultimately. Yeah. The NBA, it's happened exactly once, and it hasn't happened since 1951.
Wow.
Like, as far as series go, like this is relatively uncharted territory in the modern era. It hasn't happened in other than MLB and that wasn't the World Series either. That was the American League Championship Series. My bad there. So it's only happened two other times in the Big Four in the finals, and this would be it. Like, this would only be the third time ever, and this immediately, I think, goes up on that list of all time just choke jobs. If it goes down the way that, and I really hope it doesn't, because I want the Canadians to continue to be miserable for another 31 years, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be record setting. Either Florida is going to get their first Stanley Cup in 30 years, or they're going to blow a 0-3 lead and be the first one to do it in the finals in 70 some odd years. So strap yourselves in, kids. It's going to be a fun one. I'm just hoping it doesn't go into like four or five overtimes, because I do need to sleep. I do need to work tomorrow.
You know, give me the five overtimes. I'm good with it. I am entirely 100% here for this. We got to hit a break. Much to do today. It is happy hour. Stick around back after this. So we apparently missed a few things with the Red Wings press conference on Friday with Steve Yzerman. I mean, we covered a decent amount of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We had audio and everything for a lot of things, but something that was apparently missed that might be of interest to you, certainly, as the resident hockey super genius of this radio show.
Super genius. Yeah, there we go. I'm a super something.
We finally have Yzerman somewhat on record as having a timeline of sorts for the rebuild.
Really? Okay.
So he had to say, he'd been asked about how much time until we're actually finally ready to start moving ahead with this thing. Quote, "I am hopeful that somehow in the next couple of years, this nucleus of relatively young players that we have, starting with the Larkins and the DeBrinkets, who are maybe our older young guys, along with the Evansons, Siders, Raymonds, Danielsons, Caspers, this year, all of a sudden we have a group of 12 guys who are 21 to 29, and that's our group for that playoff window. Still, I don't think we're quite there yet. I'm hopeful we can compete for a playoff spot this year again as well." So he's identified a playoff window in the next few years, and is saying that he's hopeful that the team can compete for a playoff spot this year. That is, I feel like, as much indication as we've ever been given as to the timeline of this thing.
Yeah, I think that's we've talked about it. Making the playoffs, that's a good foot forward. And I think then the next season they make it to the second round, the third round, and then we really start putting some thought into getting excited about this team winning the Stanley Cup. I think it's, if they stay with this trajectory, I think within 5 years, I think it's going to be an obtainable goal. I mean, you got Nate Danielson doing a lot of great things. He won't be ready, but I think he's going to be part of that nucleus.
5 years before what?
Before you start talking about, before they are competing for a Stanley Cup.
Before they're even competing for a Stanley Cup?
Winning a Stanley Cup.
Okay.
I mean,
I could live with that.
Once they're in that, they'll be in that conversation.
Because, I mean, you're right now, you're 8 years into not having made the playoffs. I don't think five more years without any playoff success is in any way acceptable for a large part of this fan base.
Well, let's get the Toronto Maple Leafs on the phone and see what they think about this. They're like, "Hi, how long has it been since you won a Stanley Cup?" Hello, they hung up on me. What gives?
Hell, for that matter, how long has it been since you made it out of the first round of the playoffs?
Right.
Well, I mean, I guess since last year, but
yeah, but I mean,
even still,
yeah, they still lost. I think you're going to see you have seen. Improvement with this team since Yzerman took over. Was it leaps and bounds like we were hoping? Like he was just going to show up, wiggle his nose, Bewitch style, and next thing you know, we're going to be the Stanley Cup Finals?
No. Well, I'm just saying it would have been nice.
Well, yeah, of course, So it's going to be a little bit, but I mean, if a team gets hot, And if this team can figure out a solid goaltender, one solid goaltender that can get the job done, and some defense to lower our goals against, I seriously think I could see them not only making the playoffs, but making it to the second round this year.
I would be, and I think a lot of Wings fans would be entirely happy with that. Making it to the second round of the playoffs certainly would, I think, honestly exceed my expectation for next year even.
I mean, I would really like to see, I think instead of squeaking in at the very last minute for a wild card spot, I would really rather see them get that solidified, you know, third spot in the Atlantic and take on a team like Tampa or Toronto in that first round. But, you know.
Well, yeah, because you're not, let's be honest, you're not expecting to get past any of those teams right now.
I would see them getting past Tampa or Toronto before getting through Boston. I think Florida, especially if this team, if Florida loses the Stanley Cup, I think they're going to be snake bit. They might go into a full and rebuild. It's going to be demoralizing for this team. I think Detroit, given those circumstances, just those circumstances, I think Detroit could take Florida next year in the Atlantic. Boston, though, that's until some of these players decide they're too old and hang them up. I think Boston, and to a certain extent, Tampa is going to be the gatekeepers.
Yeah. Now, so as far as that goes, I don't necessarily think that, I mean, Florida is going to take this great step backwards that you seem to.
Like, they were supposed to last year. Apparently, they didn't.
No, they didn't get the memo. So I'm thinking this is going to continue to be an ongoing thing.
Yeah, I think my email to them went to the spam folder.
Yeah, clearly it did, because they are obviously not. They didn't have the same plan that you did.
No,
like, they're still going to be the team to beat, I think, next season in that division, until proven otherwise, or unless, like, they suffer major losses in the off season, like you're not able to get, you know, Sam Reinhart re-signed, like things like that would certainly have
that would hurt that team.
That would probably be the biggest one for me. Like, of all the guys I think are up for free agency, like, he's like the one that you would really most hate to lose. I don't think they're going to lose him. I will say. That doesn't seem particularly likely to happen, but it is something you got to keep in mind. Also, you don't want to lose Brandon Montour either. He's like just kind of the rock of that defense. Him and Oliver Ekman-Larsson both are up as UFAs. But that's about it. Those guys, Tarasenko, and I think you ultimately get deals done with all of them to stick around. Boston, it's hard to predict, because we thought that that core was already aging kind of out of...
Once Bergeron left... It was like all about. I was like, okay, well, that's it. That team's done.
True, but you know, that's still, they are still doing quite well. Obviously, Pasta's still doing Pasta things.
Yep.
And you do have some of the younger guys who are stepping up in a lot of ways to make up for that, the losses that they've had. And you still made it to the second round last year, and only lost to the team that's currently in the. Representing the East,
right,
in the finals.
Yep.
Now, Toronto, I don't know what they're going to do.
They are, like, in trouble.
They are in a lot of trouble, because they can't...
They were spending money like a sailor on payday.
And they can't afford long-term, I don't think, to keep this core together, because you're investing a ridiculous amount of money into, you know, surprisingly few dudes. You got a lot of free agents to deal with this offseason, too. Like, you've got Tyler Bertuzzi. You're going to have to figure out what you're going to do with him.
Come home, Bert.
Matt Murray is a free agent for what it's worth, so is Samsonov. Klingberg, TJ Brody, and Jacob Muzzin are all free. Like, they're basically not going to have a defense outside of... that is it. You have Morgan Riley, and that's it next season. That's basically where that's going.
Every shift's going to look like a power play. It's going to be four forwards and Riley.
Because he's literally all we have.
Really? This is just me, huh, guys? All right. Well, let's do this.
Like, they got to really figure out some things.
Oh, they lost both goalies? Nobody in net? Oh, fantastic. Yeah, we get six skaters. Yeah, I'm aware of that. Jerks.
Right. Now, for what it's worth, they do have 18 million cap space this coming season, but they're not signing all those guys for that.
No.
So, no, I do think that you could, if you put you up against Toronto next season in a 7-game series, I think you stand a better chance than not of taking that series.
Absolutely.
Put you up against Florida, I don't like your odds. Boston, I don't particularly like the odds, but I think you could push them to 6 or 7. Tampa Bay, I know all this, of course, also depending on
if Stamkos stays with Tampa,
and really what Detroit's able to do this offseason, because it does sound like it is a priority for him to get as many of these free agents signed as possible. Like, he is very much trying to lock in everyone that he can from this class. I just don't think, given the comments that we heard about Patrick Kane the other night, we're going to keep in touch. I don't tend to think that he's going to be
back.
That's
kind of like when your girlfriend's breaking up with you. Oh, listen, hey, we'll still be friends. I'll call you the other day, okay? Yeah, you're not going to call.
They never, ever do. It is happy hour, and you know, we weren't going to do unsolicited advice today. That wasn't the plan. Okay. And then I just came across two letters that I don't think I can wait till Friday to do.
They're that good, huh?
They're that good. And so we have to get into another round of the stupidest bit we do on this show, wherein Adam and I just occasionally ruin lives. So let's unsolicit some advice, shall we? Dear somebody who cares.
Yes.
My girlfriend and I broke up after 6 years. Both of us have children from marriages that ended 7 years ago. We reached a point a year and a half ago and started looking for a house together. After realizing we couldn't afford what she wanted in a home for our blended family, our relationship became strained. This last year has been our worst. As she suffered through job loss and other outside forces affecting her mental health, I tried to offer her more support, but she felt suffocated. I am sometimes too intense trying to find solutions, even when she says she's needed space. I have not kept up my end of giving her space. We've had the best connection of our lives, so seeing her in pain has me distraught. She says she isn't able to give what I need in our relationship, while I've strived to be a good teammate in her time of need. Now she says she's done because I didn't give her space. She is the love of my life. What do I do during this crushing and devastating time of my life?
It's really rough because he wants to be there for her, and she's saying to back off. But then I also wonder, if he had backed off, would she said that you weren't there for me? It's really a catch 22. You're really having having a second guess what could have been. I mean, maybe you should have like backed off a little and still, you know, stayed in there a little bit, but I don't know. It sucks that these kids, I mean, the kids really didn't figure too much into the letter, but these kids now, 6 years old, whatever, they know her as, you know, the pseudo stepmom and everything else, and now she's gone. She's out of she wants out of their lives, and then that's gotta suck. So, I mean, maybe lay it out for her, say, okay, yeah, you want space, I'm gonna give you space. Let's not call it donezo. We're not done. You're gonna get your space, but have a finite moment of when you're gonna get back together and talk about it. Not get back together as a relationship, but get together and talk about it. Okay, tell you what. I'm going to give you 2 weeks, and then we'll go with a phone call and see how things happen there.
I think just cut your losses and walk away.
Well, it sounds like the writer doesn't want to do that. It sounds like had he been willing to back off a little bit, he probably would have found himself in this situation, but he really wants to stay with her, be with her. Maybe the word that he's not using is smothering, and maybe that's what, you know, somebody feels like somebody wants to leave the relationship, and they think the best way to take care of that is to never let them out of their sight. It could be one of those situations.
Wait, isn't he wants to end the relationship?
He knows that she wants to end the relationship, and so he's probably, well, what she needs is for me to be with her at all times so she can remember how great I'm, what a great guy I am, but...
Which also always is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Like, no one needs to be, like, with their person, like, literally every waking hour of every day. That's how, you know, things happen.
That's why a lot of people got divorced after quarantine.
Right. That's why you saw that divorce rate just skyrocket after being confined to houses with people for extended periods of time. Now, that said, as far as the space thing, like... I don't honestly think that, and you kind of you touched on it here a little bit. If she was actually interested in continuing this relationship and making it work, she would be asking you for space, I don't think.
I don't know. I mean, maybe she would. I mean, because getting yourself away from a situation for a while would put things into a clearer perspective. But, I mean, if he's like, you know, I just need some space, you know, no, I'm gonna stick with you through the whole thing. I'm gonna be with you, right by your side. And that's not what I want, jerk. You gotta listen to what I'm actually telling you.
Well, then that means that she's getting ready to split up with you anyway. So you may as well cut your losses.
Or it could be, you know, she is able to like take some time. People do that. I mean, relationships as opposed to working. A lot of times, people will do that for when it's. They'll take a sabbatical with their job or with a hobby or
which also anything. Traditionally means that you're getting ready to leave that thing because it doesn't bring you joy or
no,
whatever.
No, but sometimes you just need that refresher. You just need that. Like I love my job, but I like taking vacations from it too. It can be able to come back rejuvenated.
True, but you can't really take a vacation from a relationship though. That's a different.
If they're not married and they don't have kids together. I think they should. It sounds like to me, it's another thing where I'd like to get her perspective on it. She'd be like, yeah, when I go to the bathroom, when I come back, he's right by the door. You know, it could be one of those relationships where, you know, he is smothering her through all her times at life to where, I don't know, there's so many questions I have in regards to this situation. I would say, Give her some space, and then if she, what's the old saying go? If you love something, set it free. If it doesn't come back, hunt it down. No.
Yeah, pretty sure it's not how that works now.
If it comes back, it was meant to be or something like that. I mean, it's scary because, you know, you're afraid if you let her go, she's going to find somebody else.
And she probably
realize,
is. I'll be honest with you, she probably is.
And if she does?
I think anyone who's ever been happy in their relationship and content with their relationship with their significant other has ever asked for space.
Right.
So, I mean.
Right.
And maybe it's just because I'm the kind of person, like, and this is something I think I've brought up on the show before. Like, if for some reason my wife and I had ever split up, there would have never been a getting back together. That would have been it. We're very much like, when you're done, you're done. Like, there's no reason to go back.
Yeah.
And I just see it differently that way. In that, no, like, once you've decided you no longer want to be with me, then I'm like, okay, that's over. Goodbye. Go on your merry way. Honestly, I think that's what was inevitably going to happen here. Like, she's going to find that space and find a new person to fill that space, and all of a sudden you just don't start hearing from her anymore.
And by space, like, you mean?
Yeah. Like you just know where this was headed, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. I mean, I guess I'm just saying give her what she wants. And if it turns out to be a permanent thing, let her decide.
That seems fair. And that's probably that's probably what's going to happen. She's going to have to make that decision for herself, and you just do what you're going to do.
Right.
Let's do another one of these, shall we?
Sure.
Dear anybody other than Sean and Adam, every fall, my sister, cousins, and cousin's sister-in-law have a weekend shopping excursion in our home city. We stay in a hotel, treat ourselves, shop for our children, and go out for lunches and dinners. It is a great time to reconnect. I have a sister who we do not invite. She is offended to the point of tears when she finds out we have not invited her. My two sisters and I are very close in age, but this sister, Wendy, hasn't been as close to this set of cousins as my sister and I have been through the years. We're all married, stay-at-home moms. Wendy's a divorced working mom with one young child. There are several reasons we don't include her. We know she doesn't have very much money for such an outing. She also does not have many of the same interests as we do. Her life is quite different from ours. We're not interested in what she has to talk about. She claims they have some kind of neurological disease that some of us feel is more psychosomatic than real, and which she uses to avoid getting up for church on Sundays. She also complains about her ex-husband who left her for another woman, but everyone knows it takes two to tango, and she is not without fault. We're all very active churchgoers, while she only sporadically attends services. Plain and simple, she does not really fit in with us. She takes it very personally, and last year even came over to my house unannounced crying about it, which upset my children and caused my husband to threaten to call the police if she didn't leave. Now she barely speaks to me and has told our relatives that I'm a horrible person, even though I've helped her. How can we get her to understand that she should perhaps find another set of friends whose interests and lives align more closely with hers?
Wow. I have no way to really know what's going on, because I was kind of siding with the jilted sister until I hear about her showing up and, you know, having to be threatened with police for her to leave. Before, when she's saying, well, you know, she's got one kid. What's wrong with only having one kid? And she doesn't go to church with us. She has some sort of mental issue she wants to talk about, and we just don't want to hear about that.
We don't want to hear about it because it's apparently keeping her from going to church. Yeah. Which I'll let you have the floor.
I just think, I don't know. It sounds like they're being really very uppity, very opposite of what church is supposed to teach you. So she's not invited because she's divorced. She's not invited. I mean, there's so many different things that it's just like, wow, you're really passing judgment on her, to where, you know, if you really follow the teachings of Christ, not that we're going to go down this road, we're just going to look down the street. She's the person you're supposed to be gravitating towards, the one who needs help, whether it's mental or confidence building, as opposed to shunning them.
Which is mostly what seems to be happening here. Like, I'm sorry, these people just sound like the worst. And if anything, the jilted sister is probably better off not being involved with them. Like, you really need to find some new friends, and, you know, this is your own siblings telling you, we don't want to hang out with you, find someone else.
Yeah.
That's pretty trash.
Yeah, that's pretty wrong. Feel bad for that
woman. Like, you're not invited because you're not godly enough for them?
Yeah, you were.
Wow.
Your husband left you and because we think that you cheated on him, too? I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
oh
the
gosh.
Other thing I found was weird. Everyone knows it takes two to tango, and she's not without fault. Yeah, it's your fault that your ex-husband was seeing another woman. Wow. Like, that's a level of...
judgmental.
That, I mean, is already pretty bad on its face, but, like... your own sibling?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Obviously she's not paying attention in church.
No, that much is painfully evident.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. As to how do you get her to understand? I feel like, what do you do? You've already done everything that you can.
Do her a big favor and just stop talking to her, because apparently you are a caustic human being and you're only going to hurt her mental stasis further by even entertaining her at all. She's better off without you.
She really is. I mean, the whole family clearly are just... They're the kind of church people I always hated growing up and going to.
Yeah, next time you guys all go on a shopping trip, why don't you go buy a Bible?
Right, because clearly they're, you know, sitting at church hasn't taught them a whole lot about, you know, empathy and, you know, dealing with people and your family and whatnot.
Exactly.
Yeah, God, this is probably the easiest letter in the history of this segment to just be able to unleash judgment upon these people.
Makes me sad for the sister.
Likewise, man. Like, you gotta feel bad for her. I mean, you've got... You think you have mental issues, your siblings are all, oh, that's all in your head. What you really just need is a dose of vitamin Jesus.
Yeah, vitamin Jesus. Yeah, like we all do. Look how happy we are.
Yeah, like...
Sinner.
Yeah, we're all so happy sitting here and looking down on you.
Yeah.
Clearly, we're all better off. And she's better off without people like you in her life.
That's right.
Oh, do we want to do one more of these? Oh, why
yes.
not?
Yeah, well...
We're kind of on our game today. Let's do this. Dear, oh God, they're still doing this bit? My husband and I have been together 20 years, married for 12. We've weathered ex-spouses, step-parenting, 9 military deployments between us, serious health issues, and everyday normal life. My husband is an infinitely better person than I am, and I've always tried to care for him. We are in our early 40s and recently retired. This year, our children will be out of our house, and we've bought a beautiful home in a dream location for the two of us to start our next adventure together. I love my husband, but over the last few years, almost everything he says makes me extremely angry or annoyed. I've never felt like this before in our relationship, and I don't know why this is happening now. No one else makes me feel this way. I don't know where to start in addressing the problem. I've told my husband a little bit, and he says he feels like I no longer love him or need him. But I do everything for him. I manage all our bills and finances. I cook 3 meals a day. I clean the house, the yard, and the cars. I do everything he asks for if he needs help or assistance. I try to always be there if he needs to talk or vent. I stay in shape and available for him. I don't know what else to do to make him feel loved and to make my anger go away. Please help.
So why can't he do all this? He can't cook, and he can't mow the lawn, and he can't... She's probably feeling like she's taken advantage of.
Probably. I'm not sure that he can't do any of this. I don't know if it's just he chooses not to, or could be if she insists on doing it and just it just is that way.
Well,
and,
deployment, maybe he was injured?
Yeah, that's not mentioned here, but I suppose it's certainly a possibility.
Maybe a PTSD has got him to where he doesn't do a whole lot. I mean, if it's a situation where you don't feel is if he's... put in a contribution, that could frustrate you. If it seems like he's just using you as a pseudo mother, that could be frustrating too. You're frustrated. She's frustrated with him. And
clearly,
she's got to get to the crux of the matter of why. I mean, obviously, the two reasons I just gave are probably there. Make yourself available to, or maybe there's a sexual thing going on.
Like,
where
what does he really do then, I guess?
Is he not putting out? I mean, that could make things frustrating for her.
Sure. I mean, I guess, what is he bringing to the table? Because you start off by saying he's an infinitely better person than I am, and I have infinitely yet to hear in this letter where exactly he's better than you.
Everything he says irritates you. Like, What does he say that irritates you? Does he correct your English? Does he just have the same sayings that you're just like, if he says, well, you got to do what you got to do one more time, I'm going to cut his throat.
Is he a total cliche machine? Does he think there was an election that was stolen? Like, you know, what things are being said here that would indicate that are just making you this angry?
Does he refer to Obama as Barack Hussein Obama?
Right. is he the kind of guy that is calling back the pizza place like 10 minutes after he placed an order, demanding to know why they haven't yet, why the food's not there yet? Like, there's so many things this could be.
Is he watching a baseball game, and every time there's a strike, he's got to say swing and a miss? I mean, every time, you know.
does every time he watches the 19 the Fight Night at the Joe, does he commentate it like it's the first time he's ever seen it?
I feel personally attacked. Shut up. I mean, does he clap when the plane lands? I mean, what does he do?
Because I mean, that would absolutely be a valid reason to divorce somebody.
Does he pick up a stud finder, point at himself? Ooh, yep, it works. I mean, because it could be there's things where
really need more detail on this.
You know, what does he say that upsets you so much? Like, I swear to God, if he embarrasses me in front of a waitress again, I'm going to stab him in the eye with a fork, I swear to God.
And while normally we wouldn't encourage such things, in this case, if that is what's going on here, maybe we might encourage it a little bit.
I mean, as you're leaving the restaurant, does he say, okay, gang, let's rock and roll? Is it one of those things?
You are also that guy, aren't you?
No, I'm like, let's get out of here without paying the bill. No.
Happy hour does not condone dining nor dashing.
Dining, yes. Dashing, no.
In combination, absolutely not. Dashing at all.
Yeah.
Dashing implies moving far faster than either of us do.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but no, it's hard to say, like, other than, like, clearly you're doing the bulk of everything around the house, but the everything he says makes you angry or annoyed. That's where, I feel like this gets an incomplete grade here, because what are we really doing about this?
Yeah, it's...
And also, you love your husband, but I'll be damned if I can find a single thing in this letter that she loves about. I love him. He's a better person than I am. And then proceeds to list all the ways in which he clearly isn't.
Yeah, she's typing this letter out. She's like, oh, he's a great person, infinite better person than I am. And he's like, but he does this, and he doesn't close a toilet seat lid, and he leaves the cap off the toothpaste. And it's only going to get worse because your kids are leaving or they've already left. You're going to have empty nest syndrome, and it's just going to be you and him until you guys run out the clock. I mean, that's, and you're going to move somewhere new. It's only going to get worse. I would say, you know.
And in your early 40s at that, that's a lot of time to drive each other bat guano loco.
Early 40s. I mean, would you have the kids when you were like in your teens?
Yeah, apparently. Well, so, I mean, they've been together 20 years.
Yep.
So, I mean, they probably had the kids, like, sometime not long out of high school, I would imagine.
Oh, that could be it, too. Because, I mean, there is a frustration with people who are like,
I missed out on my partying days, my 20s,
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah, no, that's a very real thing. Where people who go through a midlife crisis, the worst are the ones who got married right out of high school. They married their high school sweetheart. They didn't sow their wild oats, you know, so to speak. So, I mean, there could be some of that.
Like, there's certainly, I sense more than a tinge of that kind of resentment there.
I would say just go ahead and hang an upside down pineapple outside the door and welcome people in.
No. That is not what you do here. That is probably the worst thing that you could do in this situation.
Because at the very end, you know, he'd be like, all right, gang, let's rock and roll.
Not again! I mean, best advice I can give you is get some counseling, something. Like,
yeah.
Clearly, there are some unresolved issues that I don't think that you're necessarily entirely aware of.
Or just simply...
Or at least willing to admit in a letter to some two-bit advice columnist.
Yeah, right. Or just simply get a hobby, get some friends, get a life outside of him that goes on in your normal week.
Yeah,
so it's not just waiting on him hand and foot. Which, by the way, that's something you need to address. If he can physically help himself, if he can do things... Then you need to find out why.
I mean, why he won't.
Yeah.
If that is really the case.
Yep.
But those are the two biggest things. Get some counseling and get a life.
Get a life, woman.
it honestly wouldn't be the worst thing. Because otherwise you're in for a long, you know, hopefully another 40 or 50 years of this.
Yeah.
And you're going to drive yourself crazy and possibly... drive you two to kill each other before you get that far,
right?
If something doesn't change. We got in a break. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Word to the wise for any celebrities who are intent on playing the Do You Know Who I Am card,
yeah.
Whether you're in line at Starbucks or you've run afoul of the law, might want to curb that behavior because there's always a good chance that no matter how famous you are, you're going to find the one person that has never even heard of you.
Yeah.
Case in point last week, apparently.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake got a DUI, and he claimed he had one martini, but it was enough for cops to pull him over. And
how big was the martini is the question.
How big was this martini?
It was just nothing but liquor.
No glass. They just poured the bottle into my throat.
Not even vermouth, just a straight glass of, you know, vodka or gin, whichever you...
Yeah, he's completely innocent. His lawyer says he can't wait to represent him. Of course, he's innocent.
He can't wait for the paycheck. That's what he
can't wait for the paycheck. Because I mean,
I can't wait. This is going to cover my mortgage payment on my house for
absolutely.
The rest of the year.
Absolutely.
Score.
So, I mean, Timberlake, he didn't want a breathalyzer, refused any kind of sobriety tests. He's like, nope, I'm not doing any of that, which, in most states, that's going to hinder your driver's license for quite a while. I think in Michigan, I think you lose your license up to 6 months for refusing a sobriety test. But I'm no lawyer. I just play one on TV.
I watched that lawyer show. Yeah.
He gets pulled.
Adam Harahuck is Matlock. Coming this fall to CBS.
Well, I can't believe it. That's my seventh client that got the death penalty. And we were here for a speeding ticket. Timberlake gets pulled over, and he didn't play the Do You Know Who I Am? He's just like, well, that's going to put a damper on the tour, the world tour. Like, like the cops can be like, oh, well, tell you what. Because maybe it does work sometimes for some celebrities. They're like, oh, okay, yeah, absolutely, Mr. Timberlake. You just go out there and you just do the best you can there, bud. But, I mean, at this point, you can't let him go because then you're not doing your job. And, you know. So the guy's like, oh, well, Timberlake's like, oh, you're going to ruin the tour, the whole tour. And the cop's like, I don't care. Get in the back. We're going to go take some photos, bud. And it's so funny, he's watching people like share these videos. I shared this mugshot and making fun of it. People I know who's got like 2 or 3 DUIs themselves. I'm like, pump the brakes there, bud. You've been in his situation before.
You know just how fun that isn't.
Oh, it's. I've got one under my belt, so I'm keeping it well. I'm not sharing anything. It's not fun. But yeah, he.
Especially as often as you still drive drunk.
No.
Not that you would ever do that.
I learned my lesson. So, yeah, but Timberlake, like it would really, oh my God. Are you saying he's not going to have a driver's license for 3 months? Oh, that's it. Cancel the whole tour. It wasn't going to affect the tour in the slightest.
Honestly, when you have the kind of money that man has, right. And you know he is absolutely positively loaded in a way that you or I will never be able to understand or enjoy, why would you drive anywhere? I don't care how much that Uber is. I guarantee you, at this point, it's going to be cheaper than just losing your license altogether, but yeah. You have the money to do it. You could have yourself Ubered, even if you don't have like a personal like chauffeur or whatever, which I feel like a lot of these people do or at least have. Yeah. Like, even if you're just Ubering everywhere, you have the money to do that and never have to even think about it.
Yeah.
Why even bother driving?
Because they buy these expensive cars and they want to drive them. He had a drink or two or five. And he's like, oh, no, I'm fine. I don't want to leave my car there, have it vandalized or stolen or anything like that. So I'm fine. I'm probably fine. And then probably, I don't know what he did in Chicago that told the police officer to pull him over. But it worked because, yeah, he got pulled over. He got popped. But, like, it's going to affect a tour. But, oh, no. But, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, they can't possibly send someone to the airport to get him.
You always hear of, like, you know, other people, like athletes are big ones. Like, they keep getting busted driving while drunk or high or anything like that. You're going to go out, you're going to a bar, you know you're going to do this. Get somebody to drive you.
I believe the league even has a deal with one of the major rideshare companies, like in the case of the NFL, because it happens a lot in the NFL, it seems like. They have an actual deal, like a sponsorship deal with one of the big rideshare companies, so you don't even have to pay for it.
Right.
Why would you not avail yourself to the tools you have at your disposal? Like, if you have the money to do it, or even better, if you don't have to pay for it because when you're famous, they just don't even make you pay for it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not avail yourself to that and not do something stupid like this?
Well,
if I had that kind of... Look, if I made like $2 an hour more than I do right now, I would never drive anywhere again. Like, here, take my keys. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, also, you want to have like a little bit of a private life. You don't want to be picked up by an Uber. Justin Timberlake's in the back. He's sloshed, all red-eyed. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, so what was Cameron Diaz like? Was she...
Or worse yet, if he's messed around with someone that he doesn't want people knowing he's messing around with, I guess.
Oh, yeah, because that can get you a lot of money from tabloids.
Right. That all of a sudden, that taxi driver or Uber driver is just selling their story to the Inquirer, now you're just rolling in the dough.
Yeah,
you'll also never get another celebrity to ever get in your vehicle again, but...
Hi, De Niro, Mr. De Niro, get on in there. Wait, aren't you the guy that busted Justin Timberlake because he had that Gumar with him the other day? Yeah, no, I'm not right. I'm not getting your car. Get out of here. So, but, I mean, it's like, don't they understand the sanctity of the Uber driver, the code that they have to take, they have to follow?
Is there?
No, there's not.
Because I feel like it was a lot of, like, taxi and limo drivers that were selling stories back in the day of the tabloids.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, especially if you're a starlet or something like that, you're not going to, oh, hey, I'm a famous starlet, you know, jumping in an Uber. But still, get somebody you trust to drive you, get a limo, get one of those nice stretch, you know, Escalade limos. Have a good time, but, you know.
Right. Just don't go driving afterwards. There's no reason, when you have the means to not have to, why would you?
Right, because, I mean, if...
Driving home is always my least favorite part of drinking.
Oh, yeah, if you get into a little bit of a fender bender, and, you know, you get rear-ended, and it's just some random guy, you're upset. But if it's Justin Timberlake, it's like, I didn't even like NSYNC.
And now you're going to have to pay that much more money out to settle with him.
Yeah, I'm going to sue the star sync. I'm suing for that star.
No, own that.
Yeah.
One bit of punctuation.
Yeah. So now they got to use a dash or something like that. Yeah, that star belongs to me now. I got it in the settlement. So bye, bye, bye. I started quoting other NSYNC tunes, but I can't remember. I always get them and Backstreet Boys
mixed
up.
Those are the only two you know, and that's probably for the best.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it really wasn't my cup of tea.
No, likewise. I mean,
not that I don't mind. I like Justin Timberlake. Every time he's hosted SNL, he's been hilarious. I loved him in The Love Guru. I thought he was great.
I think you were possibly the only person who loved that movie.
I think I am,
too. That might be Mike Myers' worst role ever.
A lot of people do not like that movie. I don't even think Mike Myers does, because, I mean, he has no problem doing sequel after sequel after sequel. But Love Guru and Cat in the Hat, he's like, nope.
Well, exactly, because he recognized that, A, Love Guru was a terrible movie, and B, that he looked like the worst possible nightmare version of Cat in the Hat you could possibly fathom.
That was a fever dream come to life. That was bad.
That truly was. There's one that's high on the list of movies that just did not need to ever happen. Nope. It is happy hour. Let's hit a break. Back after this. It is happy hours. We get set to get out of Dodge here on a Monday afternoon. And for a good chunk of southeastern Michigan, really, the Tigers have been basically an afterthought. And not just for the fact that they haven't been good, but also for the fact that much of the area can't even watch the games.
Nope.
Comcast, Xfinity, whatever, has been mired in a just hellfire negotiation with Diamond Sports, which owns your local TV carrier for the Tigers, Bally Sports Detroit.
Yeah.
And they've been off the air for going on 2 months now. And if the latest reports come out are to be believed, don't plan on that changing until after the Tigers season's over. Like, this is going to likely stretch on for quite a while yet to come, which, okay, so you're missing the Tigers. You're not really missing anything right now,
right?
With all indications being this team's going to be sellers at the deadline and trade away anything interesting or entertaining that it might have.
Yep.
Okay, whatever. But what about if we're still facing this when Red Wings season starts?
It could very well happen, because
it's looking very likely that it will.
I remember having DirecTV when they were fighting with Fox Sports Detroit, and it's a lot of times it's the channel saying, okay, yeah, we're going to charge more for our product, and the cable company go, no, we're not going to do that. And so then they start pushing, oh, make sure you call your subscriber and tell them that you want to keep Bally Sports because, you know, they don't want us. They want you, but at a reasonable price.
They don't want to pass along Bally's, a price increase yeah. to you, because they know we're going to complain massively about it.
Oh, absolutely.
And Bally's, it's not just here.
Bankrupt. They filed for bankruptcy last year, so they're grabbing at straws. They want to make more money. I get it, but...
And there's a lot of things in play there, too, because, for one, you'll remember, it's not just this market in which Bally's is currently like off 10, of cable systems. Like, yeah. 15.
15.
Like 15 markets in which currently they're just not on, they're not on Comcast for, you know, multiple major metropolitan areas and markets and whatnot.
Then Manfred needs to get in there and start play the liaison between and fix this.
It gets worse, though, because now those, all of a sudden, those deals that those networks signed with those teams aren't worth nearly what was paid out because they're not getting the carriage that they wanted to be. Like, the rights that have been paid, or they're supposed to be paid to the MLB for these rights, like, that's not worth anything anymore. They're not getting their payments in a lot of cases now because, well, how can we afford this? Because we can't even, no one can even access these channels.
Right.
But that leaves you in the precarious position of potentially, and it's going to be different with MLB because you have so many teams that own their own regional sports networks, like the Yankees
MSG,
own theirs, BS Network, like the Red Sox, and I believe multiple Chicago teams own the affiliates of those RSNs in those markets.
Right.
But so getting a national, like one big nationwide deal just is not likely to ever happen. But it does raise the possibility, you'll remember it was talked about, that Amazon could end up, Prime could be your, ultimately your streaming home for several of these things. There's a possibility they could still end up on linear TV in some capacity, but if it turns out that the only way you can access Wings games is by paying for another streaming service when it all comes around, is that something that you, as a Red Wings diehard, are willing to do?
Yes, but here's the thing, is the only reason why I have Spectrum at the moment, if the TV portion, is for Wings games. Everything else, I use streaming, which, you know, so I feel like kind of a fool paying so much, especially during the off season. But it's, you know, it's also fueling Bally's, which I don't know all the logistics, but I'm pretty sure if it's like everything else, the other problems I've seen, it's Bally's jacking up the price and Comcast not wanting to pass that off to the consumers. So that's rewarding Bally's if you're gonna buy into their streaming service, which from what I understand is not good at all.
Well, their streaming service I don't hear good things about, but right now that's your only option. But they were talking about potentially, like, if Amazon Prime were to, like, buy into the Diamond Sports Group, like, you'd have all of a sudden, they would be taking over part of that infrastructure. Which also, if Thursday Night Football is any indication, that could go sideways too, because there are many nights where we've had the Fire Stick plugged in somewhere and had those games on, and there, it's not as bad as like some of the, you know, some pirated streams and things elsewhere.
Yeah.
But it's still, you have the lag. You have, you know, every so often you'll just get the blue ring of death.
Yes.
Like, these things happen more than they've ever happened with cable, which has been, for me, almost never.
Right. No, that's a real thing.
And if the rumors are true that this streaming service, it wouldn't just be included with your Prime like Thursday Night Football is, that would be an additional charge. I don't know that I'm willing to pay that.
I don't think live sports should be on streaming services. Maybe that's just the get off my lawn kind of old guy that I am. But,
okay, boomer.
Yeah, right. I just don't think live sports should be privatized like that.
And I would agree with you. Unfortunately, it seems like that's the way we're headed. I mean, look how many streaming services you're going to need to watch college football this fall. I mean, you've got games on Peacock and Apple TV and Netflix and Amazon, and it's always, it's the additional, the adding on top of what you're already paying. Like, at that point, why are we paying $80 a month for a cable subscription when I still have to plunk down an additional 5, 10, whatever a month to like 4 or 5 other services just to watch all my team's games?
Yep.
And the fact that it's also not as easy to flip, you know, you can't just flip the channel as you could, you know, With the cable services.
You have to back out of it.
Go into a different app, hope that app doesn't take forever to load, and then by the time you actually get the game pulled up on the other app, the first game you're watching is back from commercial break.
Yep.
Which, I mean, that's never going to go away necessarily, but I mean, if I'm paying this additional, you got to at least make it somewhat more convenient for me if I'm going to have to pay additional funds on top of the massive money that I'm already paying. That's kind of the problem I run into with it. Like, I don't like the fact that I have to continuously pay more on top of I'm already paying an absurd amount for, you know, cable and whatever streaming services there are already that I'm supposed to be.
Right.
We're about up against it for tonight. Join us Friday. We're going to be live at the Sandusky Thumb Festival somewhere in lovely downtown Sandusky. I'm told north of M46 on Elk Street is the rumor that I've heard. We'll be out there. We'll be on Solid State Radio, of course, as always, from 3 until whatever. And then we'll be doing some overtime because we'll be live on WMIC from 5:30 until 7 that night. And, well, I'm told maybe possibly later. And then we'll see how this where we end up, what we end up doing with sessions, too. Yeah. It's going to be a good time all the way around. Stop and see us. We'll have fun and fabulous prizes and things to give away. And then we have some stuff in the old prize closet, I'm sure.
Yep, we do.
And just come and heckle us and or buy us a beer, whichever. We're
that,
fine with
that
either
works
one.
Too. Yeah.
So that's kind of the plan for Friday. Sessions is going to be, at the very least, is going to be late running live. We're either going to be on at 7 or 8 Friday night on Solid State Radio and possibly at the same time on WTGV. Keep it tuned to the Facebook page to for any updates on that, because that will probably change about 10 times between now and Friday. The important thing is you'll hear us here between 3 and 7 on Friday on Solid State Radio, and sessions at some point for sure after that. Speaking of, America's favorite Michigan-made music radio program is up next. All being well, we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.